I'm Diana, and I love printing and design, typography and branding, books and publishing. I've traveled the world learning about trends to share with my students and with my readers. But I haven't forgotten where I started, writing papers about paper on paper. And now I've created a podcast to share what I know with you. So let's talk paper scissors. There are few things more typographically satisfying than recognizing type in the wild. Gotham over here, Futura over there, Helvetica everywhere. Perhaps the only thing more satisfying is sitting down for a hearty conversation about letter forms with a fellow type geek. Enter Jeremy Gladstone. Jeremy Gladstone's profound passion for the arts has significantly shaped his illustrious career trajectory. At the onset, he engaged with eminent global entities such as MTV, Much Music, BMW, and Valentino. His love for cinema and music catalyzed a distinguished period in the music television and video sector, culminating in his role as art director for live performances and music videos for illustrious musicians including The Rolling Stones, Beck, Foo Fighters, Rihanna, Metallica, Justin Timberlake, Pink, and Alanis Morissette. His notable achievements include the set designs for Much Music's Intimate and Interactive series and the Much Music Video Awards in the early 2000s. In 2005, Jeremy, in collaboration with his associate Robin, inaugurated Gladstone Media. This venture amalgamated the functionalities of marketing and an advertising firm, a design studio, and a multimedia film production company into one cohesive entity. This innovative approach empowers Gladstone Media to offer an extensive portfolio of services, utilizing the collective proficiency in marketing strategy, inventive content, design, and production across diverse sectors. Approaching its two-decade milestone, Jeremy leads an award-winning team dedicated to crafting methodical campaigns that distinguish themselves and deliver impactful outcomes. In this conversation, Jeremy shares more about Gladstone Media and how they do what they do, digging into the step-by-step process behind their creative work. He shares a helpful strategy for starting simple, constructing and then deconstructing creative work until it works. We then dive into Gladstone Media's Typefaces of Toronto project, currently in episode 9, including where it started and where it's going. And we can't forget that we get to meet Oscar the dog. Okay, let's listen in.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to dig into a meaty conversation with you about all things typography and design.
Yes, my favorite types of meaty conversation. I'm a vegetarian, so this is the only type of meat that I dig into.
Got it.
So maybe we can just start, if you can tell me a little bit more about who you are, what you do in the world of advertising, of production, of all the things that you do.
Sure. My name is Jeremy Gladstone, and I'm the Chief Creative Officer of Gladstone Media. And like most boutique small agencies, I wear a ton of hats. Gladstone Media is an agency of about 30 people. We specialize in communication programs and branding initiatives for all types of businesses. We work in the hospitality business. We do a healthy amount of work in real estate, everywhere from fashion to skincare. Basically, we're in a novel position right now where we're picking and choosing jobs that just sort of align with our brand standards. And if we feel like we can bring something positive to a project, then we'll engage with it. And that goes anywhere from, a full service branding project from ideation to naming to branding to packaging and, all things in between.
Neat. Yeah, you do it all. That's amazing.
We do. You know what? When I was coming up in this business, there was sort of a changing of the guards. We're talking about maybe, the early to mid 2000s, where, the big bad advertising agency, they came up with these big strategies, and then they would hire the web company and hire the video company and, hire the social media company that was just becoming a thing. I wanted to put together a group of professionals where all this could be done in-house. So we're a multidisciplinary shop, and I always say that we're like a combination of a very sort of curated design studio, an advertising agency, and a production company under one roof. So coming up with the ideas and the communication strategy, designing it, and then executing that in-house with different media verticals, whether it's motion graphics or animation or video. So it's probably why I look so tired, but it's also there's a lot of things there's a lot of things to manage. But for our clients, it gives this like consistent bloodline that runs through it, all the collateral that otherwise would have been subbed out to third-party companies. So it's working.
Fantastic. And maybe could you dig in a little bit more about your approach to all of that? So it's all under one roof. How do you kind of approach your creative work? What's the process?
Well, the first thing is listening and research. So when we get approached by clients, we need to understand what their objectives are, right? And really getting a firm understanding as to what they want from us. Do you want to sell something? Do you want to get people to an event? Like, what is the call to action? So really understanding the initiative, the service, or the product. And then the next stage would be, once we find out what really the client's needs and wants are, figuring out and auditing, what have they done to date? Maybe it's a new company and they've done nothing to date, and we're creating a brand from scratch, or whether it's a company that has built-in equity, auditing what they've done to date, what's been working, what hasn't been working, what are their pain points. And then, usually we do a competitive analysis. So let's say here there's an Architectural Digest magazine on my desk, so we use that as an example. So we're talking about Architectural Digest. They're saying we're getting killed in the print, realm of things. We really want to up our social media game and our online presence. So I would audit other magazines in the same space, find out what they're doing, what verticals are they on? Are they on TikTok? Are they doing paid advertising? And once all that research and development has been done, we present some of that to the client. If they're aligned with some of our findings, then it's the ideation of the program. And if that's a branding initiative, it's starting with simple concepts. The first thing I learned in design school is, never start by putting lipstick on a pig. Start very, very simple. Choose your fonts, work in black and white, make sure things look clean, and then you build and you add on to that. And from that simple black and white logo or tagline concept, it rolls into very comprehensive strategies that involve typographic hierarchies and color palettes and media verticals and what you're going to reach out. Are there assets that you need to create, whether those are pieces of photography or video or social content? So I know that's a long answer, but I think the most important thing that I'd like to sort of put forth to the listeners is, measure twice, cut once. Like, do your research and really have a good game plan and really have some methodology and intel to back what decisions you're making, because that will really act as the underpinning and foundation for your communications program.
Yeah, great answer. Long answer, but great answer. I appreciate the thoroughness
Thank you.
in that. And
Thank you.
I really something that stood out to me, which makes total sense, but maybe is not always something on just thinking of my students and trying to kind of get them in the frame of mind of working to a client brief and thinking about kind of building out as you say, like a brand identity design pro whatever it is starting simple. I like that. Is not trying to overcomplicate things too quickly, making sure you're on the same page and aligned and build from there almost like in layers in pieces makes a ton of sense.
And I'll even add to that. You should recommend this book to your students. I just finished reading it. It's called The Creative Act by Rick Rubin. It's a beautiful book. And at the end of a creative process, he also has a final stage that he uses with his artists where it's almost deconstructing as well. So you build and you add slowly, but then, when you have your final piece, you have your final brand, you look at it, and anything that doesn't need to be there, you just start removing slowly, and you realize that you tend to sort of add extra things just to sort of experiment, but at the end of your process, trim the fat, right? In our business, in advertising, how can you articulate a message with a few amount of words, or how can you articulate a brand promise, with an image? And you look at, companies like Nike or, larger companies, they have these stories that they tell in such minimal ways. And that's really, really difficult to do. So, to your point, as much as you build up this brand with all these amazing things, when you're looking at those final deliverables, really just whatever needs to be on the cutting room floor that is not adding to what you're trying to educate people on, get rid of it.
Yeah, that ruthlessness in kind of curating or carving away also reminds me of the writing process. Like inherently, it's much easier to write less in an article, in a piece, in a book, in a whatever. Or sorry, it's much easier to write more, rather, than it is to write less and say the same thing. And so I think that resonates deeply with with me and my everyday practice as well. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it's the truth. And you know what? Sometimes working in a group or as a collective, even with my own brand, you're sometimes a little close to things, right? So you even if you don't, want to be emotionally attached to certain decisions, you are. So it's always beneficial as well to bounce ideas off of contemporaries and the people that you're working with within your team, because there's different preconceived notions on what it should be. So, that segues into, working with a creative team. Surround yourself with people that also have that common goal and understand where you're trying to get to. And when you're in an advertising agency, I mean, on some jobs, there's 10, 15, 20 people working on one account. So there's a lot of push and pull. So when it comes to that final stage, it's really important to make sure that everyone is sort of aligned as to what that piece of product is that you're going to put into the media universe.
Yeah, very cool. And I just have to say, I saw a dog walk by behind you. What
Yes, that
is
is. Yeah, his name is Oscar, and he's definitely, I'm a big believer in, culture, these people behind me. I spend more time with them sometimes than my own family. So we try to, so I take my dog to work. His name's Oscar, and he just has beautiful energy for sure.
I love, sorry, I didn't mean to, it was like squirrel. I didn't mean to get
Not at
distracted. I just,
all. He's part of it. He's part of it for sure.
fantastic. I love that energy that Oscar brings. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe could we dig in just a little bit deeper on that final thing you said, the collaboration piece. And if you have 15
Sure.
or 20 strong-minded, strong-willed with a creative vision, like you've got lots of people kind of at the table, as it were, to try and figure out what that final deliverable will look like. What does that process typically look like in terms of making sure that everyone, if there is a lot of push and pull, like what, how do you get to a final deliverable that people can be happy with?
That's a great question. It's not the easiest answer because every project is different. I will say, as much as there's a collaboration with campaigns, it's also not designed by committee. So when we're working on some of our larger campaigns, there'll be 20 or 30 people that are working on a specific project, but they all have a different skill set, right? We're talking about rolling this across a lot of different platforms. So you have our graphic designers and art directors that are working on the actual, practical, tactile brand, the fonts, the typography, the brand Bible, the look and the feel, and the sort of, the guidelines in which we're going to adhere this campaign to. But, there's not a lot, I don't have multiple designers working on something. I try to sort of carve out, okay, this is the design team, and then you'll have, a wardrobe stylist that is styling the models. Somebody will help with casting. We have, a web developer. So there's a big team rolling this out, but they all have their different responsibilities and their sectors. Now, with that said, we're artists and different people have opinions, and sometimes there's differences of opinions, and we hear each other out and try to be as open-minded as possible. But the best thing that you can do is have one captain, and really, in my company, that's me, because I have the closest relationships usually with our clients, and maybe sometimes understand moving parts that are not maybe so information that's not so available to my graphic designers. So at the end of the day, you should have one master leader that's the decision, and that's the way that it needs to be, or else you're going to have uncertainty. And I think the designers appreciate that too, right? You have somebody that's has a lot of baked in experience, that has managed a lot of creative campaigns and is the final say. But listen, I build my company and pride myself on surrounding myself with the people that are much more talented than I am, and I take a lot of pride in that. So everyone's opinion is heard loud and clear, and I think it's just a respect thing. Whether you're debating, politics, or you're speaking about art, or you're talking about touchy subjects, just hear people out and really truly listen, and try to take yourself out of your ego. And when you're really making decisions based on what's best for the brand, the outcome's usually more positive. I mean, I learned in design school, like, there's something called the power of context, right? So I rarely, there's a shop called Taxi. Are you familiar with that ad agency, Taxi? So I learned, and I thought that this was so cool. I learned that the reason that their shop is called Taxi is because the people that are making the final decisions on a big campaign, if you can't fit them in a taxi, there's too many people in the room. And I thought that was really cool, because they were going to these meetings, I think, and they had like multiple cars that were filing people. And I just like that analogy, right? So the power of context means, early in my career, I would present creative to a boardroom of like 20 people. And as much as you think that people are making decisions based on what's best for the work, they're not. They're making decisions on the context of that boardroom and trying to show off to their boss, or trying to put their fingerprint on something. I'm making decisions based on not what's best for the job, but the contextual, practical environment in which you're presenting that creative. So I would say any major, major, major presentations, just try to clear the bodies in the room to the real key stakeholders. Again, you get me talking, and they're just long-winded answers. I apologize. I'm sorry.
No, but listen, the meat is there. You promised meat and it's great. It's good stuff. It's really, I appreciate it very much. So in thinking about all that you've said and in terms of working through a process and working with clients, I mean, what are some of your favorite projects to date? What have you worked on recently that you're really proud of or that you're like, "Oh yeah, I feel really good about putting this out into the world."
There's a lot of stuff that we've been working on. We just launched last week. We just had a launch party for a hotel residences that's going at the corner of Adelaide and Spadina, and we got to partner up with Takashi Murakami, who I would say undoubtedly is probably the most famous artist on the planet right now. So that was just a real honor, and the PR company that was brokering this deal, there's a time difference. So our designers would, come up with all of this collateral, posters to go around Toronto, commercials, brochures, all this collateral. We would design it, and then we would ship it to Japan, and then their design team, because there's very strict guidelines and rules in terms of using his name and the fonts and everything. And I'll tell you, they made zero changes to our creative. So to us, that was just such a massive compliment to have a big, endorsement from one of the most respected minds of our time, and to be able to collaborate with them on that level was just, it's a designer's dream. And then he came here, and obviously, he's such a sweetheart of a man. His whole entity is revolved around positivity and kindness and flowers and, paying, kindness forward. And he was just a constant consummate professional. So I would say recently that's a job that really stands out, and it's getting a lot of global attention, a lot of global attention. And something else that we've been working on that is just, work that we love doing. There's work that we do to keep the lights on and to pay the bills and creative stuff that's, client-based. But then there's also stuff that we do to just sort of express ourselves and celebrate the arts and celebrate our city. And I think it's the reason that we connected with each other, because you saw a program that we put out called Typefaces of Toronto. And that's been getting a lot of attention globally. Like hundreds of thousands of people are gravitating to our Instagram feed. We're getting millions of views. And if you can even see around me, like I've designed our office so there's interesting, beautiful typographic messaging everywhere. It's what fills me up. I love the art of communication. I love the art of typography. I love telling stories. So, we get to travel and we walk around our own city and we see these signs that you pass every day. And, in my mind, I'm just deconstructing things in my mind all the time, saying, that's Miss Eves, that's, that's Gotham, that's Helvetica. And I didn't realize that I was doing it. And then, my one of my videographers in a brainstorm, he came up with this idea, and I'm like, that's brilliant, because that's what I do when I walk around Toronto. I'm deconstructing fonts and kerning, and so we just thought it would be a nice celebration of our city. And that's been fun too, because you want to know why? Like, there's no call to action. We're not selling anything. We're not asking anyone to do anything. We're just celebrating design in our cities. So I'd say recently, those are the two things that stand out that I'm the most proud of and having the most fun with.
That is fantastic. And the fact that you walk around and deconstruct type and look at things like kerning is I respect you so much more.
I'm respecting my OCD. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. But and it's, you can't get away from it. I mean, you're in this business. I'm sure you're looking at things all the time and you're like, ooh, the tracking on that is just not where it needs to be. Like, it's a disease. And I fortunately found my obsessive compulsiveness can work for me in the business that I chose. So far, so good-ish.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And I think of it not, I think of it almost like a secret little club. Like if you can see the bad kerning somewhere and you know that someone else down the subway platform is looking at that same bad kerning and you can connect over that, yeah, it's part, we're part of a secret society, really, is what I
Yeah,
think of it as.
don't get me started on text rags. That's like my number one. Like I can't deal with bad text rags. But yeah, we're a different breed for sure.
Totally, 100%. You're in good company.
Thank you.
So I really, so you kind of talked about the project. I mean, it, where do you want to take this project? I love it. That's, you're right. That's absolutely how I found you and reached out to your organization. But where do you want to go with it? I know that you did a video about Las Vegas type. So are you planning to take this globally and just like run around the world looking for type?
I think a little bit of both. Just to context, we happened to be in Las Vegas for an award show. I think it was like 2 weeks ago. So we just decided to just shoot some stuff while we were there, and we happened to win a very great award that we're really proud of. So we kind of just, in paying homage to that, we just did a little bit of a novelty. There's a lot of eyeballs on our company right now. We're very fortunate to be able to have some irons in the fire in larger cities around the world. But I was born and bred in Toronto. I would say for the most part, I think we're really just going to celebrate Toronto. There's so much that we haven't shot. Like whether it's coffee shops or digging into the Toronto subway system, there's so much beauty and typography in the city. So I'd say the bedrock of what we're doing will still stay on Toronto. But we have some of our staff going to Japan, some of our staff's going to be in New York and LA. So we'll still have some specialty episodes because there's beautiful type everywhere. But I think the lion's share is still going to be Typefaces of Toronto.
That's, yeah, fantastic. I look forward to seeing more of those because they're, yeah, they're really, really fun to watch for sure.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Now, do you mentioned that your office is all kind of designed and decorated to celebrate type and communication and the art of communication. Are there any kind of type forward projects that you're working on right now, whether for a client or whether a personal or passion project, or are there any other future plans to work with and kind of center the design space around type? Like what's on the radar?
What's on the radar that I can actually talk about?
That's the other
So
challenge, yes.
no, for sure. We have a lot of exciting things happening right now. We are in the midst of branding the new restaurant that's going to be going into Toronto's Ritz-Carlton Hotel. And it's what I can say, it's very sort of like Italian alimentary, grocer slash coffee wine bar. So it's really going to celebrate northern Italian tradition. So we're having some fun with typography in the menu design and the signage design and the wine bar design. I mean, it's funny, you look at most students' portfolios and everyone always puts a spec restaurant in there because you can flex your design muscles and it's fun. So to be able to work on a restaurant of that caliber is really fun. So that's going to come out in the next couple of months. And we have another series, like a little video series that we're putting out called Glad to See You. And it's basically me interviewing designers and architects and people within the arts community. And one interview that we just finished yesterday was with a really incredible mural artist, and he should be absolutely one of your guests. His name is Ben Johnson. You've probably seen
Yes.
his murals all over Toronto. He's a friend of mine. We've collaborated on a few things in the past, and a couple of days ago, we just spoke about doing a really interesting future collaboration. So, can't speak too much about that, but something fun is going to be coming between Gladstone and Ben. Talk about someone that really understands typography and
Yes.
what he does on the scale that he was telling me stories about doing murals on the side of buildings in India. And he's super talented. So partnering with him too, he's a really incredible artist. I have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, his work is stunning and super interesting, and as you say, type focused or type forward, and it's okay. I need to reach out to Ben. Ben, if you're
Yeah,
listening.
we'll get. No. I'll put you in front of Ben. And listen, you know what? He's just like us, right? Like he's just a type geek. He just likes talking about art and typography and design. And I think he would love to anything to. And also, when I was coming up, there wasn't as many resources. There wasn't a lot of social media, so I really had to dig into getting information and hearing, other people in the industry. So any chance where, and speak to students or upcoming designers, I just feel like it's not even a choice, a duty. You have to do that stuff because the people did it for me when I was coming up, So Ben would absolutely would put you in touch with them. He'd be great to speak to you for sure.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jeremy. Where can folks find you and your work and all the things you do online? Where is the best place to go?
I would say out of all of our social media channels, I'd say at Gladstone Media would be like Instagram. And I would say our website, we're just in the midst of uploading our new portfolio, gladstonemedia.ca. And there's a sign up form on there for our newsletter. So whenever we're doing something interesting or cool or having a contest, we blast that out. And then also in the urban wilds, we have a lot of stuff that's going to be coming out in Toronto publications and I would say our website is probably a good place. And we're starting to get more and more younger designers reaching out to us and asking questions and engaging us on our Instagram, and we're doing our best to try to get back to everyone in a timely manner. So yeah, probably Instagram and our website would be the best place to get a hold of us.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jeremy. And I'll say thank you to Oscar, who's walking by again. Thank you, Oscar.
You saw, I know. He just wants some screen time with you, for sure. No,
Love
listen,
it.
this has been my absolute pleasure. Thanks again for reaching out and showing interest. And as I said before, any chance to talk about typographic expressions in artistic endeavors and design. I mean, I'm all over it. So I commend you for, putting something like this together, and, thank you for keeping the movement alive. That's great. So thanks for reaching out to me. Really appreciate
Yeah, we yearn to Kern, you and I.
it. Well, that's a good line
Right?
for a series. Yearn to Kern.
You
Not
can
bad
have
at
it. It's
all.
yours. It's yours.
Okay, I love it.
Thanks, Jeremy.